It's a privilege to be here today. It's exciting to come back. It's always fun to see familiar faces and professors that mean so much to me, and it is an honor to be here. And I wonder, when I was here, the big debate was whether or not we were going to get restrooms on the second floor on this side. Has that been reconciled? We had a lot of fun, and it's an honor and a privilege and a joy. And I thank CBF for allowing me this opportunity to represent them. And I encourage you that there are jobs out there, right, Clarissa? I'm living proof. So these are exciting times. But seriously, I am thankful for CBF as a family to be a part of, and of course, my heritage here at Truett. Let's pray. O Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. We're all seeking direction. Thank God for devices that give us accurate directions. I mean, when's the last time that you were able to get anywhere without the help of our friends GPS and MapQuest? I mean, in the past, we used to rely on people's semi-skilled directions, you know, go one block north, past the Mickey D's, across the street from the HEB, and you'll be there. We used to do that. Or if we did get lost, we used to pull out those old, large things. You know what I'm talking about? A map. Yes, oh yes. And if it was a little cumbersome, we'd pull over to the side of the road and we'd open and stretch and we'd try to figure it out, get everybody's input, and you know, and then crease into crease and fold into wrong fold and open it again and close it, and inevitably we would get on our way by the help of a map. Well, nowadays we don't even ask for directions. We just want the address. Give me the address and I will type it in and I can get there. We just need the destination. The problem with these devices is at best, they're a little confusing. And at worst, they're misguiding. They don't know our context. How many of you watch The Office? Thank you for your honesty. Yes, Steve Carell, he played Michael. Main character and Dwight, they are at a paper company, and they are in the car, and they've lost some customers. So they just, great idea, let's give them some gift baskets. Surely that'll bring these customers back. So they're about their third person they're trying to locate, so they type in the address, they're on their way, and the GPS says, turn right. So Michael starts turning right. And Dwight's in the passenger side says, no, it means bear right. Go up and then turn over at the bridge. Michael's like, no, it says turn right. And as he's turning, he's insisting. And Dwight's like, no, there's a lake right there. And then he's turning and he's about to literally plunge into the lake. And he says, the machine knows. And of course, they do plunge into the lake. And you hear the GPS saying, U-turn, if possible. Context. Where are you right now? As students, as professors, as CBF representatives. I remember sitting in these pews, you think, I have 3 years. Well, they give us more sometimes, right? Where am I going to go next? We all think in direction. We have external pressure and internal pressure saying that we've got to get from point A to point B. Well, the text today from John has Jesus giving a direction. He has just washed the disciples' feet. He has broken bread, and he tells them some disheartening news. I am leaving you. I'm leaving you. But I'm going to prepare dwelling places, rooms. And he says, you will be able to follow me. And he says in a very Jesus, what we think of a very non-anxious way, he says to them, you know the way. I love that. As if he thinks the best of them. He thinks the best of us. Where I'd be freaking out saying, I don't know the way. And of course, Thomas, being logical, says, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Ah, poor Thomas. He will not get the map-quested directions that he so desires. Instead, Jesus busts out more with a little Jedi mind trick, or should I say Chinese proverb, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, as you can imagine, that answer was really not good enough. Though essentially Jesus says, you have me. I've been showing you the way. That's not enough. They want a map. They want a method. They want details, directions. This is the problem. How do we map quest God? When I was in the youth group, I think our favorite task was, let's try to figure out God's will for our lives. And it's an honorable pursuit, right? We heard speakers on the subject, read many books, trying to figure out God's perfect will. Oh, I could lament on and on about this, but I will share one story. As analytical as I was, I thought, okay, so if God has the one for me to marry, and this is plan A, what happens if this person marries someone else? Then I'm ended up with plan B. But if I marry plan B, I'm really messing up someone else's plan A, and on it goes. You see, this is theologically complicated. How good would it have been had someone said to me, don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus has shown you the most excellent way. Isn't that what Jesus tells them when Philip asked him to show us the Father? He says, I have been with you all this time. How can you not know the Father? His reaction shows just a little exasperation. The answer you've been looking for has been right in front of you. The way to the Father is through me. You're looking for directions, and I am the source, the way. Well, just like Thomas and Philip, we all get a little blind sometimes. Remember Jesus walking with the two men on the road from Emmaus? He was with them the whole time. And yet, they never recognized him. And it was only after breaking bread that the text says their eyes were opened and they said the most beautiful line, weren't our hearts just burning? When have our hearts been burning? When have we failed to see the God who is right in front of us? And yet we complain that God is hard to figure out. Can't you just show up or something? I mean, put down the heavenly scroll, the divine plan, or speak to us in an audible voice, like in Bible times. I love that, Bible times, as if that didn't span 1,000+ years. But these are all complaints that you, that I have said, God, you seem so elusive. And yet I hear Jesus saying to them, to us, you know the way I've been showing you in my teachings and in my life, in washing your feet, in breaking bread. I've been a walking, talking example. When you are in doubt about who I am or how to get to me, remember that I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not necessary to know how to get to where I'm going. It's necessary to know intimately who I am. Isn't it funny in our culture? You can have the worst of intentions as long as you get to where you're going. But if you have good intentions and you stumble along the way, shame on you. Why are we so preoccupied with direction? There's a story about a missionary in Africa who was taking the gospel to a village in the north part of the country. And when he arrived at a village, the porter said, I can't take you any further. And the man said, can you find someone that can? And the chief of this village summoned a man who came and says, I will take you there. He was tall, battle-scarred, carrying an axe. And so they set off the next day into the bush, the missionary following the guide. And it became increasingly rough to find and follow the marked path. There was an occasional mark on a tree. And finally, the missionary stopped the guide and said, do you sure you know the way? And the man straightened out to his full height and said, white man, you see this axe? I blaze this trail to the tribal village to which we go. I came from there. These scars that I have received are when I made this path. You ask me if I know the way? Before I came, there was no way. I am the way. Like this man, Jesus marks the way for us. For in the Christian life, the way, as we've heard it before, is not following the plan, but a person. Jesus tells the disciples, follow me. It's not recorded, at least, that they said, hold on a minute. Let me do a little background check. Can I have some references? Or the handbook would be delightful. No. He said, follow me. We need to let go of that notion that there is any other way, that there is a map or a plan other than the person of Jesus Christ. I know a person is messy and complicated. It's not as easy as WWJD, what would Jesus do? It entails interpretation. That's what all this good hermeneutical stuff is about and what we do and in our preaching and in our daily lives. There is interpretation of who Jesus was and his teachings. It's harder than tracing a line from point A to point B. We can't pin a person down. But that's what this journey is about. And it makes the destination all the more sweeter. We must move beyond directions to presence, beyond answers to living the questions, as Dr. York used to say, maybe he still does, beyond results to living in the mystery of faith. A good model for this trust is the Quaker understanding of the way. They have a saying that says, at the right time, way will open up. By listening to God's Spirit, we will know the way. Sometimes we get frustrated because we don't see from beginning to end the big picture. I know that was frustrating as a student. Where am I going to go? Who's going to be with me on this journey? The way is standing right in front of you. I will show you one step at a time. Before I entered seminary, I said, I don't know if I could be a pastor. I'll give it one semester. And I'll let God unveil the rest. I wish I could say it is easy to be a non-anxious presence. It's not. But this is what Way says to us. At the beginning of this text, you heard it and you heard it in song. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I can hear him saying, I'm not trying to make this hard on you. In fact, in the next following this text, it's no coincidence that he says, I'm sending you the Spirit. I'm sending you the Spirit because it is hard to figure this out. And this Spirit will teach you, help you live the way, reminding you of everything I've taught you. Truly, we make it more complicated. We look at Christ's teaching, his works, as you heard him say and as he read, the works of Christ. As the lectionary brought us this last Sunday, are we bringing good news to the poor? Releasing the captives, recovering sight of the blind, letting the captives go free. Because when all this talk about discerning and analyzing and reflecting and figuring out where to go next, that can get abstract. But that scroll from Isaiah nails you. What are we doing now? In the midst, are we visiting Mission Waco, Talitha Kum? Are we listening to the emotionally starved? This is our task before us. So this is our hope. The Spirit of Christ resides within us, reminding us that we already know the way. And maybe Way is opening right before you. But we've been looking somewhere else. Or maybe we've been asking the wrong questions. For it's not what's the way there, but who is the way? May it be, I am the way, the truth, and the life.